Health questions need health-specific chatbots. A computer engineer and a public health expert explain what you can and cannot trust when you seek health advice from AI. Finding health information online has never been easier. A question that once required searching through websites, public health pages, or medical forums can now be answered in seconds by an AI chatbot. But easier does not always mean safer. General-purpose tools like ChatGPT and Gemini can produce fluent, confident answers to health questions, even when the information they provide is incomplete, misleading, or wrong. For the team behind Heba, a health information chatbot developed at the American University of Beirut, it all comes down to one central question. What does it take to build a tool that knows its limits? If you consult an open-ended chatbot instead of one designed to respond to health-related questions, you are likely to face issues with the accuracy of the responses, says Imad El-Haj, an AUB professor of electrical and computer engineering who helped create Heba. Heba was built with that problem in mind. Rather than simply serving as a front end to a general large language model, the tool was designed with guardrails that shape where it gets information, how it structures answers, and what kinds of questions it will not answer. Its sources are selected and limited, and it is designed to provide health information, not medical advice. In ongoing testing, the tool produced good answers to users' questions 75% of the time and acceptable ones 22% of the time. That compares with tools like ChatGPT and Gemini, which in some studies produced unacceptable answers to health questions almost half the time. And yet, more and more people are turning to general chatbots for health information or advice. A 2026 KFF Health News poll found that about one-third of U.S. adults had used an AI tool in the previous year for questions related to both physical and mental health. Aline Germani, director of the Center for Public Health Practice at AUB, sees danger on two levels. A misleading answer can lead someone to care for themselves or loved ones improperly, or to experience unnecessary anxiety. Multiplied across many users, such errors can contribute to an infodemic, Germani says, flooding the health information environment with unreliable claims and making trustworthy guidance harder to identify. El-Haj and Germani sat down with AUB at work to explain why general-purpose chatbots can falter in matters of health and how safer health information tools can be designed. The first question was, why are general AI tools like ChatGPT or Gemini not ideal for health-related questions? Imad El-Haj said those tools are built to produce plausible, fluent responses across many topics. That, he explained, is different from evaluating health information, weighing uncertainty, or knowing when a question requires a clinician. Aline Germani added that even when people are asking for general health information and not medical advice, they are still being asked to judge whether the information they receive is credible. That can be difficult when a response is delivered in a confident, authoritative tone. Health information online already includes a mix of scientific sources, gray literature, opinion, and misinformation. A chatbot can bring those things together in a way that sounds coherent, even when the underlying information is not reliable. The next question was, is it better to use general chatbots for health information or medical advice, or should they not be used for either? Germani said general-purpose chatbots are risky for both, but the stakes are different. For health information, a chatbot may help people understand general concepts, what a disease is, how prevention works, what a public health recommendation means, or why it is important to consider a particular risk. But that information still has to be accurate, up-to-date, and drawn from reliable sources if it is going to help people make better informed decisions and know when to seek care. Medical advice is different. It applies information to a specific person's condition and requires clinical judgment. For advice to be meaningful, it has to take into account symptoms, medical history, test results, medications, comorbidities, and other risks. Health information tools can be useful, Germani said, but for medical advice, AI should be used only in a healthcare setting with a clinician's input. El-Haj said that, from a technical perspective, the difference between health information and medical advice points to one of the most important decisions developers of health information chatbots can make. What questions should a chatbot not answer? The next question was, assuming readers will now go to a health-focused chatbot to get health-related answers, how can developers and researchers ensure that such a chatbot will recognize its own limitations and produce safe answers? El-Haj said the first step is to define the scope. Developers need to decide what the tool is meant to do, how it will structure answers, and importantly, what kinds of questions it should refuse. The sources of information it draws on are also crucial. A health information chatbot should not simply search everywhere or rely on whatever the underlying large language model produces. It needs curated, reliable sources. Then the architecture has to control how those sources are used and how the response is generated. Testing is also essential. You test before deployment with different kinds of users and different kinds of questions, El-Haj said, but that is not enough. Once the chatbot is being used in the real world, people will ask questions in ways you did not expect. You have to look back at what they asked, how the chatbot responded, and where it performed well or poorly. Germani said the design also has to begin with the audience. A health information chatbot should respond to a real need. You have to understand who the users are, what languages they use, what information they need, and how they are likely to interact with the tool. The next question was, how did AUB apply those principles in developing Heba? Germani said Heba was created with a local audience in mind. Before the tool was developed, there was an assessment of who it was meant to serve. That shaped the languages it uses, the way it interacts with users, and the kind of information it provides. The public health team was also involved in validating the responses. That allowed the team to provide quality control from a public health perspective. El-Haj said Heba was tested carefully before it was launched and then assessed through its real-world use. In the evaluation, less than 3% of the responses needed editing. That is a small percentage, he said, but even that number is significant because it shows that monitoring has to be ongoing. When you identify a weakness, you go back to the system, revisit the sources, and improve the tool. The final question was, what should people keep in mind when using AI for health questions? Germani said people should first ask what kind of tool they are using. Is it a general-purpose chatbot? Is it a health information chatbot? Is it connected to a healthcare institution? Does it clearly explain its own limits? For example, when you ask it for medical advice, will it tell you that it can only provide general information and suggest that you see a doctor? Then, she said, people need to be clear on what any chatbot can and cannot do. They can be useful for providing general information, but people should not use them to diagnose themselves, decide on treatment, or determine whether they need care. When the question is medical, the chatbot should be treated as a supplement to, not as a substitute for, professional advice. El-Haj added that AI literacy needs to start early. Students in grade school should learn that these tools can be useful, but that they can also be wrong. From a very young age, he said, people should understand that a confident answer is not necessarily a reliable one. Are you a member of the media looking to speak with an AUB expert on this topic or others? Please email media inquiries at aub.edu.